Random House Audio presents The 12 Tribes of Hattie by Ayanna Mathis. Read for you by Adenrale Ojo with Bonnie Turpin and Adam Lazar White. All of you came to me and said, "Let us send men ahead of us to explore the land for us and bring back a report to us regarding the route by which we should go up and the cities we will come to." The plan seemed good to me, and I selected 12 of you, one from each tribe. Deuteronomy, chapter 1, verses 22 to 23. The house, shut up like a pocket watch, those tight hearts breathing inside. She could never invent them. Rita Dove, Obedience. Philadelphia and Jubilee, 1925.
Philadelphia and Jubilee,
August said when Hattie told him what she wanted to name their twins.
You can't give them babies no crazy names like that.
Hattie's mother, if she were still alive, would have agreed with August. She would have said Hattie had chosen vulgar names, low and showy, she would have called them. But she was gone. And Hattie wanted to give her babies names that weren't already chiseled on a headstone in the family plots in Georgia. So she gave them names of promise and of hope, reaching forward names, not looking back ones. The twins were born in June during Hattie and August's first summer as husband and wife. They had rented a house on Wayne Street. It was small, but it was in a good neighborhood and was, August said, just an in-the-meanwhile house. Until we buy a house of our own, Hattie said. Till we sign on that dotted line, August agreed. At the end of June, robins beset the trees and roofs of Wayne Street. The neighborhood rang with birdsong. The twittering lulled the twins to sleep and put Hattie in such high spirits that she giggled all of the time. It rained every morning, but the afternoons were bright and the grass in Hattie and August's tiny square of lawn was green as the first day of the world. The ladies of the neighborhood did their baking early, and by noon the block smelled of the strawberry cakes they set on their windowsills to cool. The three of them, Hattie and her twins, dozed in the shade on the porch. The next summer, Philadelphia and Jubilee would be walking. They'd totter around the porch like sweet, bumbling old men. Hattie Shepherd looked down at her two babies in their Moses baskets. The twins were 7 months old. They breathed easier sitting upright, so she had them propped with small pillows. Only just now had they quieted. The night had been bad. Pneumonia could be cured, though not easily. Better that than mumps or influenza or pleurisy. Better pneumonia than cholera or scarlet fever. Hattie sat on the bathroom floor and leaned against the toilet with her legs stretched in front of her. The window was opaque with steam that condensed into droplets and ran down the panes and over the white wooden frames to pool in the dip in the tile behind the toilet. Hattie had been running the hot water for hours. August was half the night in the basement loading coal into the hot water heater. He had not wanted to leave Hattie and the babies to go to work. Well, but a day's work is a day's pay, and the coal bin was running low. Hattie reassured him, "The babies will be all right now the night's passed." The doctor had come around the day before and advised the steam cure. He'd prescribed a small dosage of Ipecac and cautioned against backward country remedies like hot mustard poultices, though vapor rub was acceptable. He diluted the Ipecac with a clear, oily liquid, gave Hattie two small droppers, and showed her how to hold the baby's tongues down with her finger so the medicine would flow into their throats. August paid $3 for the visit and set to making mustard poultices the minute the doctor was out the door. Pneumonia. Somewhere in the neighborhood, a siren wailed so keenly it could have been in front of the house. Hattie struggled up from her place on the floor to wipe a circle in the fogged bathroom window. Nothing but white row houses.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?